Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Guest today, Brian Blanchard. Brian, I really appreciate you hopping on with me, man. Tell us, first of all, where you're calling in from and what you do for a living.
I'm calling in from Boisvain, Manitoba, just 45 minutes south of Brandon. We do farm-raised pork, chicken, and beef and eggs here. I'm also a mechanic by trade, so I supplement the meat business with a bit of mechanical on farm equipment.
That's awesome.
To get us going.
Very cool. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about, a little more about your background. Was this kind of like a legacy, like family business for you? Is this something you started on your own? What kind of led you up to, getting into the ag business and also the on the mechanical side of things?
Well, when I was younger, my grandpa had a farm and then things happened and the farm went away in the late 90s. Always wanted to farm, but it just didn't pay off that way. So I thought, well, I'm going to go in and the closest thing I can think of that I like to do for farming is to fix farm equipment. So I did that for pretty near 15 to 20 years full time. And then at one point I came across an acreage that was just outside of Boisvain. So I picked it up and we lived here for a couple of years and I had a couple of kids and realized that we weren't saving much for the kids' education. So we decided to get some laying hens and then we'd sell the eggs and put that into a college fund for the kids. And it has really snowballed since there.
That's amazing. Yeah. So and when did you say exactly did you start the farming side of the business? And
when it was about 2012.
2012.
Yeah.
Nice. So you're a mechanic by trade almost all your life, always wanted to get into the farming business naturally. I love that story. That's awesome. So they started with some hens doing eggs. When was kind of the big, transition to doing, all like the livestock that you're dealing with now? Was there kind of a point where you like brought a lot of stuff on at once, or did it really just kind of like organically grow like over time?
It has organically grown. Like the first batch of hens was a neighbor a mile down the road. She had 26 laying hens that she didn't want. So I went with Zoom Boom and picked up the hens in the laying hen house and brought them home. And we started with that. And then the next year we went up to 50. And I think the year after that, we went to about 100. And then we introduced meat birds in at that point. And then I added pigs in at, I don't know, probably about 2018, somewhere in there. And we learned a bit about them. And as our infrastructure here got bigger and our demand got bigger, we decided to add some cows. So we started with just a couple feeders and then I didn't want to buy the animals. So I thought, well, buy the feeder animals. So I thought, well, we'll just buy some cows and raise them. And now it's gone into, we have close to about 80 cows. Now we do 1,000 meat birds and about 300 laying hens and likely about 35 hogs right now.
Well, that's awesome. And then I guess, how do you kind of take to, selling this product? Are you doing some of like, the butchering and stuff yourself and selling cuts to, wholesale? Are you selling like direct to customers that way? Or what's your general kind of like go-to-market strategy with the livestock and the product that you have?
We're still working on the strategy, but we do have a website at evergreenalleyfarms.ca that we're working on. We do a lot of marketing on social media and through emails and then a little bit of, hopefully a lot of word of mouth. People like what they get, so they tell their friends. And that's where we're at. The marketing is the most challenging we've found so far. We can raise animals, but it's the getting it sold is trickier.
Gotcha. And then is all your business like direct to consumer that way? Are you selling any like wholesale to any grocers or anything like that? Or is it all D2C that way?
At the moment, it's all D2C right now.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I'm not sure if we're up to the quantity to keep a grocery store or a restaurant or anything. We've talked to a few restaurants, but they're like, we need 80 pounds of chicken breasts a week. And I can't really do that.
So. Yeah, right. No, that's awesome. So what has it kind of been your experience with in selling direct to consumer? What do you kind of find is your like typical customer that is doing kind of repeat business with you? Like, is there a specific like demographic age range kind of that you find more typical than others within the people that you're selling to?
Yeah, we're finding the over 40, probably closer to 50-year-old age group that probably their parents grew up eating this kind of meat and cooking roasts and buying halves and wholes and stuff like that. The younger we have been struggling with the younger generation. Like, we don't know how to cook it, or we don't have time, and different things like that. And kind of thinking they're just coming up with excuses right now, because we've figured that we can cook a meal pretty quick when we want to, throw a roast in for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and bam, it's done and it's delicious. So
I think probably for the younger generation, I can imagine it's probably a time and a space thing. I think so. I heard some crazy statistic the other day. I don't know if it's like this in Canada, but it was a U.S. statistic. Or something like Gen Zs that go up to, I think, 26, 27 years old, like somewhere like 75 to 80% of them are still living at home with their parents. It was really interesting that way. When you think about like the Gen Z and younger millennials, like especially with COVID happening, you know, during the time where like, you know, a lot of like that generation was really like supposed to be like kind of carving out their own identity in the market. Everything was kind of put on hold during that time. So it's really interesting. I think typical age of like, you know, 24, 25, like generations typically start to enter the workforce. I have the disposable income to kind of become their own like buying identity. I think that kind of is like very delayed with that generation. So yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm honestly not surprised though to hear that, you know, it might be a little bit more challenging to sell, you know, to those groups. And so you find like people, you know, obviously, you know, in that age range probably buying like for their families, right? What has kind of been like the most popular product that you're selling direct to consumer right now? It seems like you have the most capacity for beef. It sounds like. So I would assume that's probably most of what you're doing, but can you break that down a little bit for me? I'm just curious.
We really like hamburger, obviously, is likely our biggest seller. We have lots of interest in steaks and stuff like that, but we don't sell a lot of them individually. Just we try to do a few promotions and different things with them. The eggs is where everything started from, and they seem to be our easiest. We could probably sell 100 or plus dozen a week right now. And like we do a lot of we do 1,000 meat birds, and we don't generally have a problem selling them. So it really is just everything. We sell everything. It doesn't seem to matter. Pork is, some people say they don't like pork or whatever. I think that they just haven't had the good farm raised pork. They're used to the factory farm
right
pork that tastes like the factory farm, I find. So
yeah. And then as far as your like fulfillment and shipping, are you keeping it mostly local at this point? Are people actually come to the farm to pick the stuff up that they're buying? Are you doing shipping? What does that kind of look like?
We're looking into shipping right now. We've got a bit of interest in that. We have an idea on how to ship, but we deliver to Brandon every Wednesday. We run eggs in there and meat and whatever we need to every Wednesday. We always seem to need something from the city, so we just decided that Wednesdays work good. Most people are home on a Wednesday night, so we just run in there and do all our own deliveries right to people's doors.
That's great.
Shipping is expensive.
Oh,
the cost to do shipping, like it's almost impossible right now to do it until we get into a different size. And then I think we can, if we ship to Winnipeg, we'll just drive it into Winnipeg and drop it off at a shipper's place, and then pay the $20 or whatever for them to deliver it around the city is where I think we're going to end up with that. Because shipping from Boisvane or Brandon it really drove a lot of people away.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And that was actually one thing I was going to ask, because I think just coincidentally had a lot of, you know, ranchers or people in the ag space on the podcast recently. And the shipping, you know, when they're selling direct to consumer is always a challenge. What is kind of driving the cost, do you think, more than anything else? I mean, is it just a straight up like, you know, like cost of the service itself? Is it the types of ways that you have to actually package these things, since they have to be obviously refrigerated or frozen? So you obviously have some kind of insulation that has to go into that. What do you think is kind of the biggest thing of driving the price up for your shipping?
It's the shipping, it's the fuel, it's the cost of the vehicles, it's the carbon tax, it's all those things. Like I can buy a box for $1.25, and I have made liners to go in. They cost me about $3, and then a couple bucks for the ice pack. So $5 is our container basically. But then I can drive the box to Brandon and then ship it to Winnipeg to the guy's doorstep. It was $45. Per parcel. So it's really prohibitive for people to buy that and pay that kind of shipping on it.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And just want to ask you too, I know you mentioned you do pretty well posting on social media. Is that where you find like most of the traffic to the website goes? Like say you got like a new customer maybe has never heard about you before, just came across you somehow through some channel. Where's most of the drive to the website for new customers coming from right now, do you think?
I think it's searching up locally raised or farm fresh. We really try to use those kind of keywords in our advertising. So if somebody's looking for local beef, they find our website or a link to us one way or another through Instagram or Facebook. A lot of people are wanting to buy locally, we find.
Yeah, it's definitely a trend I've noticed too. And that, as I mentioned, like just having a lot of the ranchers or people in the ag space, it seems to be, you know, a consumer trend. Obviously, people wanting to buy local, wanting to have a relationship with the people they're buying their food from, because I think people are just tired of, like, you know, hearing about, you know, seeing the documentaries of like, why is ground beef at the grocery store like neon red? It's like, well, this is why all this stuff they're pumping into it. So I think people are kind of wising up to those types of things. And, you know, from an ethical standpoint, but also from a, you know, a health standpoint, the food they eat, they want to make sure there's like, you know, it doesn't have any crazy, like, you know, antibiotics in there, and that it's, you know, being raised humanely and ethically and things like that. So I think from a consumer perspective, I think there's definitely a lot of drive to want that. And I think honestly, for, you know, a lot of ranchers, especially at least in the United States, there's just so much better margin selling direct to consumer, even with the shipping costs added. I mean, you know, rather than selling wholesale, I mean, the margins are just razor thin. So I think it's been a really interesting trend. And it's funny because as difficult as it is to, you know, sell the quantities of things that make sense to ship to like the younger generation, I think, you know, the younger generation is some of the most interested in, you know, doing these kinds of things. So, you know, I think having these options accessible to young people, I think is going to be another, like, I think big trend coming in the future. But yeah, I know you mentioned as well, you know, so it sounds like you're doing like some SEO on Google with like keyword searching and things. Do you run any paid advertising as well, like on your Google or your Facebook? I know you obviously post on your socials pretty frequently, as you mentioned, but are you doing any kind of like paid advertising in those channels too?
We haven't started that yet. It's maybe kind of a time thing that I haven't made up the advertisements and stuff like that yet. We're trying to keep it a little bit cost effective, just not doing paid advertisements right now. We will have to do some paid advertisements in the future, but right now we're just working at the social media, see if we can get good at that. I've seen a few different places that have really succeeded with the social media advertising. So we're just kind of trying to follow their lead a bit and go from there at this point in time.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. I mean, if you have a good enough social media following, I mean, you know, posting is free, right? So some of the best like organic drivers for sure in the D2C world, the e-commerce world. So no, that's awesome. Yeah. One thing I always love to ask everybody that comes on the podcast, Brian, is just obviously you started this business in 2012. You know, everything you learned up to this point, you know, 12 years later, if you could go back to the beginning and give yourself any piece of advice, if you were to start again, what do you think that piece of advice would be?
I think for me, it's take your time, build it slow. If you really rush at it, you're gonna have problems. We've had some big wrecks with chickens and pigs out here that we didn't have the infrastructure, and the pig got kind of attacked me a little bit because we weren't safe in handling it. And take your time, build it, and once you build a building, quite often that's where that building's going to be, so you got to use it. So you want to think and make sure that everything's in the right spot and is user friendly, and you can work with the animals through this system is one of the biggest things. And it's expensive. There's just no two ways about it. It is expensive to get into this kind of thing. Like, we have, me and my partner both have fairly good incomes with the mechanical, and she has her own income. And a lot of that goes into building this farm. We're just nicely now starting to see a bit of a return on it, where hopefully within the next year we can slow down on our actual jobs and maybe convert more to the farm to be able to pay more attention to it and to do a better job at it. We're just kind of at a tipping point, whether we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot by being off the farm working and not being on the farm doing stuff that needs to be done here. It's a really delicate balancing act right now. My dad is out here. He does a lot of the chores and helping me on that and the stuff. So it's a really big thing, big help he has out here.
No, I mean, it's a great perspective, and it's such a good point. I mean, and in today's day and age, I mean, you know, I think a lot of younger, especially, you know, I don't mean younger entrepreneurs as an age, but just younger entrepreneurs as in like might be their first, like, you know, real capital venture, no matter what it is. Like, you see, just see so much of this like BS, you know, like overnight success, you know, everybody's making millions of dollars in 2 months. It's like, I don't care what it is. Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, the development has to be there, especially in the CPG space and the ag space. I mean, it's a slow burn. Like, there's no silver bullet to it. And it's more expensive than you think. That those are probably the two most common answers I get to that question, which is just like, you know, take your time, and it's going to cost you more money on the front end than you think. Like, it's not going to blow up right away. You're not going to get a return that fast. So, like, just make sure you're prepared for that. So I really appreciate that perspective and that advice for anybody listening. I mean, I hope if somebody listens to multiple podcasts, they'll hear from all lot of entrepreneurs that answer to that question. So, you know, it's maybe anecdotal evidence. I mean, by the 25th time, I don't think it is anymore. So I appreciate you sharing that and, you know, being a part of that illumination to that point, because it's so important. I think it's, you know, it is. I mean, statistically, one of the biggest reasons that whatever 75 to 80% of businesses fail in their first year. I mean, usually it's a capital issue. And I think people just aren't prepared for, you know, the timeline or, you know, the capital requirements for doing some things, or just don't plan it out enough. So I really appreciate that advice for anybody listening, for sure. I just want to give you a quick opportunity, Brian, as well, to just plug your website. You know, anybody listening to the podcast might be interested in getting in touch with you, maybe potentially for some kind of partnership, or, you know, just interested in trying the product if they're nearby. Just let people know how to stay in touch with you guys.
Yeah, no, we have our website at evergreenalleyfarms.ca. Instagram handle is evergreenalleyfarms. Email. Yeah, Facebook's the same thing. So we're on all three of those platforms there. Awesome. Check us out on those sites and drop us a line if you're interested. We are always up for different kind of ideas and everything. Or if you're interested in some product, we have lots and can do that.
Also, yeah. Brian, just want to say thank you again for coming on. I really appreciate your time, and I just want to wish you the best of luck, continued success. I love what you're doing, and I look forward to staying in touch, and let me know if I can do anything for you, and looking forward to staying in touch, and thanks again.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Been a great experience. Thanks, man.
Yep. Thanks, Brian. Thanks, everybody.